Our scripture for today comes from Romans chapter 12, verses 1 through 8. Hear now these words. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds, so that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of yourselves more highly than you ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body we have many members, and not all members have the same function, so we who are many are one body in Christ, and individually we are members of another. We have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us. Prophecy in proportion to faith, ministry and ministering, the teacher and teaching, the exhorter and exhortation, the giver and generosity, the leader and diligence, the compassionate and cheerfulness. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Will you all please pray with me? Oh God, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable for you, God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So friends, we are continuing in our sermon series on God's welcome, looking at hospitality and how can we welcome like God welcomes us. Last week, we looked at the story of Sarah and Abraham, where they welcome three visitors only to learn that they are in fact God. God who has come and told them that they would bear a son that comes to fruition. This is what we're focusing on today, gospel hospitality. First, that we are called not only to welcome people, but to be welcomed also into what God is leading us into. And second, that hospitality is in fact transformational. We too are changed in this. Reverend Dr. Amy Oden, who wrote the book that we are using for this, describes the transformational nature of hospitality in this way. Gospel hospitality almost always entails some kind of risk and leaves all parties changed. She goes on to write, gospel hospitality is God's welcome, a welcome that is both deep and wide. Gospel hospitality is God's welcome into a new way of seeing and living. And ultimately, gospel hospitality is God's welcome into abundant life, into God's own life. And friends, this is what is at stake when we welcome people into our lives, into our church, risking the known, and comfortable when we open ourselves to a new way of seeing and living as we welcome others into God's abundant life. So, one way to think about this is in God, the scripture that we have for today is that God works through us to transform the world as we live into a life that is filled with God's love, God's grace, and God's hope as we are welcoming others into new life and into abundant life. Remember, when we extend God's welcome in the form of gospel hospitality, it always entails leaving all parties changed. We, too, are changed as a part of this welcome. And then also, we as a church become a transformational church, a church that is transforming lives, doing the work that God calls all of us to do. Here at our church, one of our core values and part of our vision statement is loving and serving our local community. Loving and serving. We do this every week through Fresh Food Wednesday. Just this past week, we served just under 1,700 people in 2 hours. Truly amazing. We also help to clothe our community once a month through our clothing locker. And we partner with others who provide shelter and provide meals throughout the winter. We provide school supplies to Cook Elementary and do other things as well. We do so much, and sometimes you all come up with these wonderful ideas and we try to figure out, can we do it and do it well? And sometimes still, even though we do oh so much, friends, I still wonder, are we doing enough to transform lives for the kingdom of God? Let's look at Jesus' ministry as we reflect on this question. Now, the ministry of Jesus was a radical concept for the first century. Jesus transcended so many barriers, right? Economic, social, gender. As he accepted and welcomed people to follow him who were not allowed to follow a rabbi, like women, children. He touched the sick. He welcomed the poor. He went into homes of those who were known sinners. and others who were marginalized because they were different from what society said should be welcomed and that God would welcome. In his essay by Scott McKnight called The Messiah You Never Expected, he puts it this way. What we can ask, do you think the Samaritan woman said about Jesus when she got home? Or the lepers who were healed when each of them got back home? Or the poor man about whom Jesus told the story of Lazarus? Or the woman caught in the act of whatever by whomever who was suddenly freed from new life, for new life? Remember, these people were told to be healed or be forgiven or be restored. They remember Jesus as someone who looked them in the eye, saw what they were, saw everything about them, the good, the bad, the ugly, the parts of them they hid, and disregarded it because he saw that they were God's children as well and welcomed them home and restored them to new life. God's welcome transformed their lives forever. And despite the passing of 2,000 years, the church today continues to struggle with embodying the radical ministry nature of Jesus' ministry. As Christians, we often struggle to authentically be Christ to those who are different from us. So how might we, as the gathering at Scott Memorial, change this? And for this to be a place known throughout Virginia Beach and beyond as a welcoming community. Welcoming not just in a normal way, but in God's love, right? That is what is different. So we look at today's text to give us some insight. When we look at today's scripture through the lens of a transformational church, a few things stand out. First, this is Paul's letter to the Romans. This is credited as being the first instance of Christ's theology of mission, or essentially serving. Paul is also teaching the church in Rome the difference that the gospel makes in our lives, and that our lives should look different because of our faith in Jesus Christ. Not only that, but because of our love of Jesus, our relationships with one another should also look different than what we see in the world. Because I love what Paul says, especially in verse 3. He is warning us of not to think too highly of ourselves. He is telling us to be humble. Let me read it for you again because it's so powerful. So this is what he says. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you not to think of yourselves more highly than you ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For we are to know that we are God's and God is ours, and everything is a gift from God. Everything is a result of God's abundant grace working in our lives and in Christ's church. Now, one of the important ways that we experience God's grace is through community. So much so that our membership vows, and here the United Methodist Church, include a promise that we will be in community with one another. We cannot be a church of just one. We must be in community together, sharing by our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness. And Paul is also telling us that as a community, we are dependent on one another. When we work together and build healthy relationships, we will be transformed. And more importantly, the church will bear fruit. Fruit that is transformational. And we put this in the context of welcome. We see that not only are we called to serve, which is the doing aspect of mission, but we are also called to be transformational, to be welcoming, to reflect the sacrificial love and grace of Jesus Christ. Gospel hospitality is more about being and less about doing. Today, doing good is not as radical as it was in the time of Jesus. We have a plethora of opportunities to do good. If you give to any organization, I promise you they will bombard you with mailings and emails all throughout the year, wanting slightly more, right? There are so many nonprofit organizations. There are volunteer days at work. My husband works for the government, and he can take off to give blood and do volunteer work. That's part of the package, I guess. There's even the local Starbucks has community work days. Now, all of these are good and wonderful ways to serve, but are they transformational? The difference between incremental help and transformational mission is what makes our call as the church so critical in today's world. We are called by God to be transformational, to be change agents, to build the kingdom of God right here in this community. And we do this by being a transformational community that embodies the love and grace of Christ in our everyday lives. You see, Jesus is the change maker. It is the overwhelming love and grace of Christ that changes everything. We can be nice people, and we should be, but we are transformational people with Christ as the center. It is the love of Christ pours into our lives. We are called to pour Christ's love and to change all situations, people, communities, and even our nation. But here's the kicker. Here's the hard part, friends. We're going to have to welcome people into our lives who are challenging for us to love. People who look different, who have different problems than we do, who might talk more than we want them to talk, who might say inappropriate things at the wrong time, right? Who might not be perfect and might be imperfect, just as we too, friends, are imperfect. And we must be willing to welcome them and to be changed by them as God does the transformational work in all of us together. This is our challenge, to love one another as we have been loved, despite all of our flaws as well, as we extend God's welcome. In just a moment, Cadence is going to show a video of my friend Pastor Amanda Weber. So she shared this story, and it's so powerful. While I can retell it, it's more powerful to hear her say it. So she and I met about 15 years ago when I was in seminary. I was working at my internship during seminary out of her home church. She and her family had moved to Colorado, so the story takes place just before their move. And the whole first year that I was at my internship at Mount Olivet, I heard about Amanda Weber and her amazing family. Like, everybody talked about them. They had this thing called Community Assistance, which is similar to Fresh Food Wednesday, but it was done once a month, and it was through the USDA, so there was fun paperwork. So I would go and help and would use my limited translation skills in Spanish, but it was a wonderful way that this church welcomed guests into their building. And Pastor Amanda used to run this, so the story comes from her time doing that. It also references her son Noah, so those of you who help with Fresh Food Wednesday, her son Noah was here a couple weeks ago. He is now well over 6 feet tall. So this is when he was a baby. So, Cadence, we are ready when you are.
So several years ago, I was involved in a large outreach ministry at a church, at the church that I was actually called out of to ordain ministry, and that's Mount Olivet United Methodist Church in Arlington, Virginia. And my work with community assistance with this outreach ministry was an experience that changed my faith and really was the grounding of my call to ministry. So one of my responsibilities was to wait for a food bank truck to offload food, and then we would set up in a hall very much like this, the food to bag, and then we would distribute it out into the community. And because we literally received tons of food each month, the church leadership team decided that I needed help. So we hired two gentlemen that we had come to know through community assistance. They had had a hard time holding down a job, and so we thought that this was a way to also teach them some life skills and to give them a source of income. So for each month over 2 years, my children and my friend Kenny and these two gentlemen, who I'll call Frank and Henry, came together on Thursday mornings, and we waited. We waited for the food bank truck. Typically, we would be together for several hours because, you know, they gave us one of those trusty delivery windows. Don't you love those? We never knew exactly when the truck was going to show up. So sometimes we would sit for as long as 5 or 6 hours. But this gave us the opportunity to really get to know each other. We would do odd jobs around the church. We would play with my children and just kind of hang out. And during this 2-year period of time, I was pregnant and gave birth to our third child, Noah. Now, Frank and Henry had been great with Francis and Colby, but because Noah was a baby, they never really saw him right after he was born, because, you know, I had one of those baby wrap things that are so popular, and Noah was always tucked away in the wrap. But one morning, as Noah got to be older and wanted to have a voice of his own, it was around 4 months old, he was awake and engaging in our conversation, and Henry was making these goofy faces at Noah, you know, trying to get him to laugh. And then unexpectedly, Henry looked at me and asked if he could hold Noah. In that moment, I was faced with a situation that I never anticipated. Worse, I had this internal reaction that absolutely shocked me in that moment. You know, the place where we've all been when we think we are about to make a choice that does not reflect who we think we are. That person that you believe yourself to be actually collides with the reality of the person who you actually are in that moment. And thanks be to God, when we are in the midst of these situations, it is through the power of the Holy Spirit that we gain the strength to make the right choice. You see, I had always considered myself to not only be an advocate, but a friend to the people we served. I believed that I did not view or treat them any differently from any of my friends. Yet had any one of my friends asked me to hold Noah, I wouldn't have given it a second thought. And I certainly wouldn't have been running through excuses in my mind as to why they couldn't hold him. It was a moment when only the power of the Holy Spirit could give me the courage to make the right choice. And in that moment, I smiled and said, "Of course," and handed Noah to Henry. It was beautiful to see Henry's face light up as he held and played with Noah. And Noah responded perfectly, smiling and cooing. A couple hours later, when we were packing up and leaving church, my friend Kenny looked at me and said, "Amanda, I know how hard that was for you, but the Holy Spirit was with you, and something holy happened this morning." Well, fast forward 12 months later, it was my last day of serving with community assistance. It was a bittersweet day because my family and I were preparing to leave for Colorado. Another part of my call story, I often joke that I thought I could run and that God wouldn't find me. So it was this time that was bittersweet, and I was trying to make sense of my life and this call to ministry. So I was sitting in an empty fellowship hall waiting to welcome our community assistant guests, and Henry walked in. "Amanda, Amanda," he called. "Yes, Henry," I responded. "I just talked to Pastor Brad about some help I need. He told me to come see you, that you are in charge." "Pastor Brad said you've been in charge this whole time. Is that true?" "Pastor Brad also said you are moving to Colorado. Is that true?" By this point in time, Henry was right in front of me. I responded, "Yes, Henry, it is." "You've been in charge this whole time, all the time we've worked together?" "Why, yes, Henry, I have. Does it matter?" I asked. "No, no, just that you've always been so nice to me, and you let me hold Noah. No one has ever let me hold their baby." By this point, Henry was crying, and I was crying, and, well, you can imagine. What I learned that day was that we never, ever know when and how God is going to work through us to extend God's welcome into a new way of seeing life.
I love that story because of her rawness, right? Here, you know, she is an advocate. She had worked with community assistants and people who were housed and unhoused. And yet when she was in that moment of being asked if someone could hold her 4-month-old, she had that moment of, oh my goodness, what do I do? And the Holy Spirit took over. You see, part of welcoming is looking at those parts of us that we think are so welcoming, and yet the Holy Spirit is still working on. How can we as people be fully welcoming in every part of us? Meaning quieting the voice that sometimes says, that's not how we've done it or how we've always done it, but embracing something new, embracing a new way of doing things as we too are transformed through relationships. Just like Abraham and Sarah, who we looked at last week, who they experienced God's love through welcoming the travelers, God is welcoming us into new life as well. A life that we cannot even begin to imagine because God's hopes and dreams for us are beyond what we can imagine on our own. Friends, this is the good news of Jesus, the good news that we are called to share as we welcome people into this place. So friends, are we willing to change as we welcome others? Are we willing to look at ourselves and eat the deep parts of ourselves? Are we willing to be uncomfortable? Are we willing to do things differently if it means reaching more people in Jesus' name? God has been active in Virginia Beach ever since God created the world, and God wants to use us. Are we willing to be used? Friends, will you all please pray with me? God, help us. We want to welcome others in your name, and God, you call us to be transformed in that welcome. Thank you, God, for the welcome that you extend to us each and every day. The way that just like Jesus saw the good and bad in people, you too know the parts of us the Holy Spirit is still working on. So God, point those out to us. Help us to work on those so that we may be transformational people because of you. God, help us to transform this community right here. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.